live from the great state of Texas, welcome to the Texas Homeschool Convention Show. The show is live, so please comment during the show.
Each week, we empower today's homeschool families with invaluable resources. Texas Homeschool Convention is more than a podcast show. We're a vibrant community, a gathering of people supporting one another in the incredible journey of raising the next generation of world changers.
Now, grab a seat, get comfortable, and join families throughout the United States and around the world as we dive into today's conversation. Live from Texas is the Texas Homeschool Convention Show.
Happy Friday. It is a good Friday indeed. Thank you for joining us. For all of you guys who are part of the Christian faith, you know that this today is such an important day. And so thank you for taking time out of your week to join us on this show as we celebrate Good Friday personally as a family, but then as a show, we decided to bring on some special guests today to talk about the world, talk about culture, and it's going to be a really exciting episode. Well, before we get into it, I want to say we are, I didn't do the math this morning, like 20 days out from convention in Fort Worth. And if this is your first time joining the show, I want you to know that we're not just a weekly show, we're not just a weekly podcast, but instead we are building a community of people, of homeschooling families specifically, who come together a couple of times a year to celebrate all that God is doing in our world and the world around us. And that is happening 20 days from now in Fort Worth, Texas, April 18th through the 20th. It is a jam-packed three-day convention that you do not want to miss. And so I want to let you in on a little secret. If you have not gotten our emails, then you don't know that we are doing 50% off all tickets right now. And I know what you're thinking. How in the world can you guys do this? I love goals and I love hitting my goals. When we looked last week and we were just like this much away from hitting our ticket goals, I said, you know what? Let's invite everybody. Let's make sure the price is there, that the sale is on. And so guys, we are like less than 150 people away from hitting our ticket goals. So get your tickets. We want you to be there. We don't want to sell out. And so if you have not yet, go to convention.thsc.org. New 2024 will get you that 50% discount. Sign your kids up, sign your neighbors up, sign your church up. It's going to be a blast. And we would love to see you there. Well, 20 days away, if you guys have not checked out the schedule, again, you can find all of this information at convention.thsc.org. I was doing the scheduling this week, and do you guys know we have like 120 plus workshops going on? All practical things for homeschooling families, for discipleship, for mom and dad, for teens, for kids. No matter where you're at in your homeschooling journey, there is something for you at this convention. And so we can't wait to see you there. Now, my guest today, super excited about them. If you have not heard of Will and Nikki Addison, you are missing out. They are on the forefront of podcasting in the homeschooling Christian world. But more importantly, they are talking about things that I think as a new mom, and I say new, I have a toddler at home, as a new mom are super important. They're talking about cultural topics that have invaded the secular world and the church and bringing them to the forefront of conversation. And I love that I'm able to put this podcast on in the car, not having to worry about the content that's coming out like you have to with most things nowadays. Can somebody give me an amen? But they are just two parents who are speaking truth into, the best way I can describe it is, a lot of what we see in the world is this distorted truth. It feels like truth and it might look like truth, but when you really put it up against the truth, the word of God, you can see that it's disordered. And I love that Will and Nikki are speaking against those things and bringing the real truth, the word of God, into it. And so I would love for you to tag a friend, to share this on your feed. The more people that hear about us, the better. And so before I do that, I would love to just pray over this episode, pray over you this Good Friday, and then we will invite my friends in. Father, thank you for today. Thank you that we get to celebrate on this Good Friday, Lord, that while the rest of the world is still seeking something, Father, we rest in your love, and thank you for sending your son for us. Lord, this weekend we honor you, we remember the sacrifice, and we are just forever and eternally grateful for all that Jesus came to do. We love you, Lord. We pray this episode would just bless the people who are listening to it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys, let's bring in my friends Will and Nikki to the show. Hi. Hello. Welcome in, guys.
Oh, man. Okay, Chelsea, it is so great to be with you guys. That is the best intro ever.
Yeah, that's pretty
nice. Oh, my goodness. Like, from beginning to now, I'm like, this is great. I love the energy of this. I'm super excited to be here with you. Thank you so much for inviting us.
Oh, man, you guys are so refreshing. Every call we've had, I've gotten off of it, and I'm like, I just love talking to them. And so I think we talked about this a few weeks ago. I was like, I'd love to just sit down and basically have virtual coffee with you, talk about all the things God's doing in your world, because y'all are making a splash in the kingdom right now. Y'all's new podcast, Culture Proof, is just, I'm loving it. And based on what I see on the internet, everybody is loving it. So we'll get into that in a second. But I'd love for you guys to introduce yourselves to our audience so they can get to know you a little bit.
Well, let me just ask you, would you be down for some virtual like tea?
No, it's gotta be coffee.
Okay.
All right. Don't take the bait, Chelsea. He doesn't drink coffee. I drink coffee. So it's a battle in our home. You know. He drinks tea. We can live together in unity. It's okay.
By God's grace. And the somebody.
That's right.
So we're the Addisons, and God has just really put on our hearts to, mainly when we look at our families and discipleship, that discipleship should happen in the home, that the cultural issues of the day, we want to make sure that our children are ready, because we're going to send them out one day, right? Mm-hmm. We're not afraid of the culture, but we want the culture, we want them to understand what they're going to be dealing with.
That's right.
We want them to understand what's out there and how, through the Bible, to answer these questions. We have 6 children, ages 17 to 3. Mm-hmm. So we have a pretty lively household. You know, there's a lot of noise at times. But, man, we do everything together. We travel together. We do ministry together. Our children help us with Culture Proof. We just see this as our mission that God has given us, that, and to encourage families that you can do the same, that you should see your family as a hub for the gospel, where the gospel should be received first. Our children, if they're receiving the gospel at church for the first time, and that's the first place they're hearing it, that's not good. They should hear it in the home first. And so we just really desire to share our hearts as far as encouraging families and parents that you can do it, that God has equipped you to disciple your children. And that's what Culture Proof is about. It's about discipleship.
Yeah. Amen. I would just add to that just a little bit of background, even going further back. We became followers of the Lord Jesus in our teens. And so from that point, we wanted to serve him. Like, Amen. Even though we were growing up in a Christian home, we realized that we didn't know Christ, and our stories are similar, but different. Mm-hmm. Growing up, both of us in New Orleans, Will the Great came from an intact family. Mm-hmm. His mom and dad were married until his dad passed in 2009, I believe. Mm-hmm. But I was from a broken family. My dad left our family. And so I was raised in a fatherless home where we went to church, but I didn't know Christ. And so when I met him, this was real for me. Like, this was not just sort of a, you know, cultural moment. And I feel like, looking back on both of our lives, that it kind of reflects the reality of a genuine conversion, like really coming to know Christ.
Yeah.
And then at the collegiate level, being involved in campus ministry.
Yeah.
And being trained in how to share our faith and how to be faithful to the truth of God's word. How do you study scripture? All of these things were important. And to say it simply, we were made disciples of Christ.
That's it.
And so it's from that conviction that we were like, we are going to disciple our children. We will disciple our children. We are not just going to rear our children. We are going to give them the very best, which is a robust knowledge of who Jesus Christ is, and train them in what it means to follow him. And so that's even, and we may get to this a little bit later, but that's even why we homeschool. But so from there, campus ministry for a long time. Then our longest stint was at American Family Association. 15 years?
15 years, yep.
15 years serving in all kinds of capacities, I would say. Probably most people would be familiar with us serving as radio hosts. We did that for a decade, over a decade, daily, a 5 days a week live radio show, working together. Mm-hmm. And we loved that.
And we've always worked together. Our whole married life. I mean, campus ministry, everything. We've worked together. So, and some people will look at that, how are you able to do that?
He does what I say. And that's that's how we make it work, Chelsea. No, I'm kidding. That's not it. somebody just got, they were like, oh, I submission. Yes, you're right. That was a joke. That was just, it's a joke. We're culture proof. So anyway, that's a little bit about us. And now we are, we're focusing on the ministry of culture proof and equipping families to do what we feel like was always meant to be natural to the church, right? That we were always supposed to make disciples. And as Will the Great just said, the gospel, the first stop for the gospel was always supposed to be inside our families. It was always supposed to be, you know, secure your mask and then the mask of those closest to you. And so that should be our children when we're talking about the faith. And so we just want to help families do that in everyday ways. You don't have to be a scholar. You don't have to be a theologian, you know, by trade or by training, but you do have to be steeped in God's word. Amen. And you have to love him with the love that he is worthy of. I think the outflow of that is then doing the things that he's commanded us to do.
Mm-hmm. That's so good. There's one thing I love about you guys right off the bat. You know, you spend time with Jesus, like just the power that's coming out of your guys' like voice and your excitement about the gospel and discipleship in your home is contagious. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yes, like I'm getting chills just hearing that. And y'all have 6 kids, you have jobs. I mean, you guys have a busy schedule just like the rest of us. So for those parents who are listening and saying, I mean, I go to work, I come home, I've got to get dinner, put the kids in bed, do all that. How do you fit discipleship into the busyness of life? Because if y'all are talking about culture, you know that it's just speeding up. Every day is getting faster and faster and faster. How do you intentionally slow your life down to make sure there's space for discipleship?
Yeah, that's a great point, because we look at it as all throughout the day as we go.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, our children are with us. Like we travel, speak at different conferences and things like that. And they're coming along. And during those trips, you know, we have great conversation. We have great conversation at home. We bring some of the cultural issues of the day that's happening. We sit down with our big three mainly and say, okay, what do you think about this? Like how would you answer this through the scriptures? So it's Deuteronomy 6.
Yeah.
You know, it's truly just all throughout the day, you know, as we're doing school, as we're doing, you know, different things, man, it's life on life, even with our children. And so God has set it up that way, that if we're living in such a way that they would ask the question, okay, dad, mom, why are we doing this? Like, what is the deal with this? You know, and we get to say from there, it's because of the goodness of God, because of the commandments of God. And so it's something that is intentional.
Yes.
It's intentional. It has to be, or it won't happen. And then we'll just, you know, outsource it to somebody else to disciple our children.
Yeah.
But it's intentional. And it's because we have been made disciples that we make disciples.
That's right. So it's both intentional and natural. It's the outflow of what has happened in our life. So, for example, and let's just be really practical here. If there are those, you know, and I'm going to describe those people as the dysfunctional people who have kids who yell at each other, because it's not us. Like, we don't have that, right? Our kids are gentle and they always respond with scripture, you know. But, you know, when you've got a kid that is, okay, they have a disagreement and they're just going at it and they both are trying to be heard. And here you are the mom in the room and you're listening. Now, what I want to do, practically speaking, I want to, based on their age, I want to give them space to try to navigate it on their own. Mm. Like I really do. And so I listen, I actively listen. Where have we gone off the rails here? And when do I jump in? And while I'm listening, I'm praying and I'm asking the Lord, Lord, give me wisdom. Lord, help me to point to you as I'm about to jump in to parent and also disciple. So what I've got to do is I've got to consider what scripture passage will the Holy Spirit bring to my mind. Lord, help me to instruct my kids. Because remember, I'm making disciples. That means I want their trust to be in the word of God. I want them to be able to see that God anticipates their sinful condition in his word. And so he's already like prescribed the remedy for your sinful condition. So I want to make sure that they can rest and trust fully in the word of God. So I have an illustration here that is one of my favorites, actually. It was our two daughters were having a discussion. Okay, let's just call it that. A discussion. and it got a little bit heated. And our son, who is our third born, so they're all, the big three are teenagers. So we've got Gen Z and Gen Alpha in our family. Because anyway, so our big three, they are having this discussion. And our son walks in. Now, he is not a part of the discussion, Chelsea. This is nothing to do with him at all. Okay. But he walks in and he's going to give his opinion, and he starts to take a side and tries to paint a picture of what is really going on, because he knows, well, the person whose side he tries to take turns on him and is like, you stay out of this. This has nothing to do with you. And he goes, but I'm helping you. And I don't want your help. And all of this. And so I listen. And then I've had enough. And then the Holy Spirit reminds me of the passage in Proverbs that a person who meddles in a quarrel that is not his own is like one who takes a dog by his ears. Right. Like, and so I turn around and I go, okay, let's just consider what just happened here. Right. Here's what the Bible says. And so if I can point them to the scriptures that already peg their sinful condition and their sinful propensity, right, it builds confidence that they can trust God's word, because God knows them. He made them. He also knows the way that they need to be reconciled back to him and put their flesh into subjection and come under the lordship of Jesus Christ. So those are practical ways that you disciple, but they have huge implications, Chelsea, because what happens down the line is when you get to those bigger cultural issues, you've already built a reliance and a trust in God's word. Mm-hmm. So they know that they can go to the scriptures. If the scriptures can handle my sinful presentation here, where I meddle in a quarrel that's not my own, and the Bible knows what the result of that will be, then I can trust God's word with identity. Mm-hmm. I can trust God's word on, you know, radical ideologies and philosophies that are destructive to the faith. So that's what you begin doing, that building your kids' confidence in the word, and doing that intentionally and very naturally. It's the outflow of who you are. You don't reserve that. Like, I'll just say this and then I'll be quiet. I know some women who disciple other women, and they put way more thought and preparation into that coffee meeting than they do discipling and training their children. Like, those things should be the natural outflow of your life. It's not just a performance for your meeting that's coming up. It is actually, this is my life. So that means that when my kids are getting on my last nerve, that means when I am tempted to usurp my husband's authority, right? The word of God is sufficient, and that should be the way that we live.
And the thing about discipleship, excuse me, is time.
Yes.
We have to have the time with the children to be able to do it. And that's one of the reasons why we, you know, educate at home.
Yes.
We didn't want the school system to have the lion's share of the time indoctrinating our children with all these things that we're not teaching them, but they're learning this stuff, and they're coming home and we're like, where did you get that? So our two oldest, they were in school for a little while.
Yeah.
You know, we saw those things, and God made a way that we could homeschool, but it was mainly for discipleship purposes. That's yes, it. We want to educate them. We want them to be smart. We want them to understand. But the time factor, we had the time now to train them up in the ways of the Lord. And that's a major thing. Why do we homeschool? You know, what's the heart of your homeschool? Yeah. That's one of the things Miki talks about, you know, and it has to be, I believe, for the believer, because we want to disciple our children well.
Amen.
Yeah, that's so good. People are in the comments saying, ouch, conviction, yes. I love that. But I love what you, like, Miki, what you're talking about, because your disciple, and Will, I'm sure you're the same, you can't disciple your children unless you are still being discipled by the Lord, right? Like, I mean, imagine if I'm one day removed from the Bible, that I would play that same scenario and be like, y'all need to cut it out, get out. And it would just be watered down. Okay, parenting at best. But what I love is that you take the stillness in the moment right before to say, Lord, this is your moment to speak. Amen. Because what he's going to speak, I mean, let's be honest, none of us memorized that verse that you just quoted out of Proverbs in church. Like, that's just not one of the good ones, right?
Right.
Not one of the good ones. You know what I mean? It's not John 3:16. We're like right there.
The dog and the ears.
Yeah. But what I love is like the simple truth that kids need, that like the Bible is relevant to this moment in your life, right? Like, it's not this out of date book from thousands of years ago that culture tries to paint it as, right? Yes. Oh, we cherry picked these words and it was in the 50s. But like, the word of God is truth, and how we read it in English is what we're held accountable for in the presence of God, you know? Yeah. So I love that. And it's the conviction to us as parents to say, are you practicing what you're trying to teach your children? Yes. And I'm sure that plays right into the homeschooling model as well, because she said discipleship was the key, which I hope and pray that's exactly why every other family's wanting to do it. Education will come, but the word of God needs to be embedded in the heart. So what have you guys found as homeschool parents, like, that you've had to convict yourself on to do in order to teach your children? Like, talk to us about that.
The first thing I would say is not rely on my own ability, not rely on my own intellect. You know, there are times that our kids come to us and they do have a question about culture, or they have a question about our church context, you know, about families or about, you know, a current event. And my natural sinful inclination is to take my own knowledge, my own ability to reason, and respond based on that. And so I have actively put my abilities aside. Like, I don't want to rest on my ability to present a robust apologetic because of, well, I studied these things and I've read these books. And so let me tell you, according to this, you know, that's a temptation of mine. But I want to glorify God, and I don't want their trust to rest on my convincing speech. It sounds a lot like Paul, right? Like, putting aside our eloquent words and allowing the power of the gospel to come through. So, for example, I'll give you another practical example. This one was just a couple of weeks ago. We're on our way to church on Sunday morning, and our son, we're talking about sin from the beginning, and we're talking about the fall, the rebellion of Adam and Eve. And this has been an off and on question of his, and he's a little bit of a philosopher, right? So his questions about sin and the origin of sin, we continue to have this conversation with him because we want him to feel safe, if you will, in asking these questions and recognizing that God can handle the weight of his questions. We don't want him to feel like he's got to, like, polish up his questions so that he looks good. Mm-hmm. So we want him to ask his questions. Sometimes our kids' questions are so raw and they're so honest. Many of us who have wrestled and come to a place of peace with understanding that the Lord's ways are not our ways, we can be scared of our kids' questions because we think the question automatically means that they're a heretic. So it's like, oh no, I'm raising a heretic, you know, and then you spring into action. You got your oil, you got your holy water, and you're like rebuking stuff. And turns out the kid is just really thinking about what he or she's reading. Like, they're just really processing it. And they're not necessarily trying to be combative. They just want to know. And so we're driving to church, and I'm going to get the question wrong, so help me with the details of this. But he asked a question about, why didn't God eliminate the possibility of sin? Like, why didn't God just remove the ability for Adam and Eve to rebel against him? You know, and as we're getting, and those, right? What are those questions where you start going through that? And he says, I mean, couldn't we just have done without the evil? Now, my immediate inclination is to go to all of my apologetics training and all the books that I've read, you know, and don't we have a chapter on this, you know? But the Holy Spirit, like, in the moment, as we're talking and kind of like trying to work this through, in the moment, the Holy Spirit, I feel like, gave me a question to ask him. And so I said, so are you suggesting that you would have done something different? And then by that suggestion, are you maybe thinking that you might be better than God? Like, I think we need to explore that. And he was like, no, right? Because the aim here is to try to understand without feeling like, well, if I stood in the place of God, this is what I would have done, and it would have been better, right? Like, so we have to be able to be comfortable as parents saying, listen, there's a space that God stands in that you don't get to stand in. And while I can provide as many questions or as many answers to your questions as I can, as God allows me to provide, there are some answers I'm not going to be able to give you that are going to satisfy you. But I will tell you this, God is God, and he is in a class all by himself, and he is worthy that we submit to him. He's worthy that the way he chose to do what he chose to do is good, and that we say amen, right? And that's scary to a parent, because we feel like if we don't have an answer, we have failed them. But what I want to do is I also want to show my kid that when I have questions that don't have neat little tied up answers, I still trust him. Mm-hmm. This does not cause a crisis in my faith, because I come back to the reality of, well, this is who God is. The Bible describes him independently of what he has created. So here you have the finite creation coming to the creator, the infinite creator, and presuming that you know better than God. If we could have just eliminated the whole like evil thing, God, preemptively, wouldn't that be better? Well, now you are kind of standing in God's place. And unfortunately for you, or maybe fortunately for you, that's not a place where you get to stand. So we want to wrestle with the questions that we can wrestle with. And the ones where we have to say, I'm human and God is God in heaven, we have to say that.
Mm-hmm. Now, I was just say, one of the convicting things for me, and I mentioned this earlier, Deuteronomy 6, is it says in verse 6, these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart, and then you shall teach them diligently. So for me, is that these words are in my heart first, and making sure that I am, you know, saturated and reading the Word of God, studying the Word of God, and praying, you know, because when life hits, things get out of order and you can easily like back off and slack off. But that these words and these commandments would be in my heart first, and mm-hmm. then I would be able to teach them diligently into my children. And so that's for me, not to be a hypocrite is one thing, you know, that I want to make sure that I'm right before God as I'm endeavoring to teach them, you know, that I'm actually doing what I'm telling them about. And also, you know, I have this desire in my heart that they wouldn't just have head knowledge and understand, you know, different things, but that they would really love God, the experience. I remember at times in my life, you know, marked times where God answered certain prayers and did certain things. I can remember those things, you know, and I want my kids to have those moments as well, where they really have a true relationship with God, you know, and it's more than just regurgitating things that they have learned.
Yes. Yeah. Amen.
So good. Like, as a parent of a little one, I have a 2-year-old at home. I think I just took a breath, like a deep breath of saying, like, it's okay to not have the answers, because that's the beautiful moment, like you're talking about, to teach the sovereignty and the mystery of God. Like,
amen.
And I thought about the verse in Job that's always convicting, especially since my last name is Job, but like the Lord asking, like, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? And if that verse just doesn't stop you dead in your tracks, like,
Yes, Lord.
Oh
my goodness. Yes.
Yeah. And that's what, you know, kids are so curious, and there's such a pureness about that. But as a parent, like you said, please don't break out your apologetics books. Don't go to page 900 in the theological debate book, but to just be okay with the fullness of who God is and the honor and respect that he deserves in that seat. Guys, if you can believe it, we're already almost out of time. I could talk to y'all for hours, and I feel like it would be 5 minutes.
Wow.
Just so you guys know, we're going to go over a few minutes, hang out. The conversation is still going to be amazing. Homeschooling, because y'all are so big into homeschooling. You're coming as speakers to the Texas Homeschool Conventions. Guys, if you thought this was powerhouse, make sure to go to their workshops. They are going to be phenomenal, and you get to just sit and soak with everything, with all the wisdom you guys have. But we have so many people who have never been to our convention or a homeschool convention. Is it just a big book fair or curriculum fair?
Oh my goodness.
Is there something more to it that like really people should come and experience?
Yeah, I would definitely push back. This is not a glorified library book fair. Like, this is like-minded believers. If I could sum up the Texas Homeschool Conventions in one word, I would say equipping. Across the board, here's the thing. The enemy loves for us to feel like we're on an island all by ourselves, or that our issues are just our issues, our questions are just our questions, and no one's explored that. No one's walked through that. And that is a lie. It's just not true. And so when you come to convention, the thing that you feel is that, oh my goodness, I am among like-minded believers. I get to see what I actually am seeing, and I can comment on that, and other people see it too. Okay, yay, I'm not crazy. The desires are the same. The encouragement is well received, because we've been longing for people who see what we're seeing and have been able to respond biblically to that and encourage and challenge and equip us in ways that I would say that are eternally significant. So, oh my goodness, there's so much to it. The fellowship aspect, you know, just running into parents where you're forming connections for your kids and for yourself, people who have the same conviction and are running in the same direction, right? For the glory of God. Mm-hmm. Man, there's just nothing like that.
Amen.
I love that. That's my favorite part too. Like, because I'm sure some people would look at you guys, you get to work from home, you're homeschooling kids, your life looks beautiful, but I'm sure you guys need the encouragement to keep going most days.
Yes.
Right. So
yes,
you need to come together around like-minded people. One, so we know that we all don't have it figured out. Amen. That's right. Everybody who's Amen. Watching. But two, what I love about homeschooling, there's always someone who's a step ahead of you, who's in the similar season, but they've seen the light at the end of the tunnel. And if anybody has those five-year-olds, no matter what age, there's a new grace for the next season. But your encouragement would be come because of the community and the fellowship. And I think that's a beautiful way to sum up what these gatherings are about. Sure, there's awesome resources. They're great workshops. But if your cup is even has a little bit of space, like, these events are designed to come and fill you up. And so, guys, thank you. I'm pumped to see you all in 20 days. I love hanging around you. I love talking to you, the wisdom that you have. And as a young mom who is looking for people to be in this space that's speaking truth to things that are slightly, because truth is hard to find nowadays. Everything you read, there's some distortion to it or some agenda or some political thing. But thank you for being a voice to my generation coming up as we're raising our children to stand firm in the word of the Lord. And that, you know what, take it day by day, hour by hour. So thank you guys for coming on the show. I so, so, so appreciate y'all.
Thank you, Chelsea. It's been our pleasure. Thank you so much.
All right. We'll see you in Fort Worth in just a couple of days. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Whew. I don't know about y'all, but I'm going to go rewatch this and just soak. It is so refreshing to hear that level of wisdom. And what I love is they're going to be in Fort Worth in Houston with us. Guys, they're going to have a booth. They're actually going to be recording their podcast, so make sure you stop by their booth and check them out. If you think this was encouraging, wait until you hear them in person. 50% off tickets right now for Fort Worth. Literally no reason for you not to be there if you're within 50 miles of the convention center, convention.thsc.org. Oh, guys, what a great way to start Good Friday, to remind us to go and disciple our kids in the way of the Lord and for us to soak in the word of God. So that we can overflow into our kids' life. Always great to be here with you. Next week, we have some exciting guests from Patriot Mobile joining us to talk about everything that they're impacting in the world of conservative values. Spirit Media, as always, thank you guys for an excellent production. If you haven't heard of Spirit Media, spiritmedia.us for all your podcasts, books, basically any publication, they will take care of you. And guys, 20 days away. Next week, it'll be 14, so make sure you're getting your tickets, and I can't wait to see you in Fort Worth. We'll see you next time. Bye, guys.
Thank you for joining us on this week's episode of the Texas Homeschool Convention Show.
We hope you are leaving encouraged, equipped, and empowered to take on this week as an intentional parent.
Be sure to subscribe on YouTube and never miss an episode.
No matter where you are in your journey, we are here to support you. Make sure to check out our website at conventions.thsc.org. Come join our community.
Did you know that we host in-person conventions each year in Texas? Join us in Fort Worth, Texas and Houston, Texas in 2024 as we celebrate 30 years of homeschooling freedom in Texas.
Use code SHOW10 for a 10% discount on your convention tickets.
This has been the Texas Homeschool Convention Show. Have a request for who you'd like to be on our show? Email us at events@thsc.org and tell us more. We always love hearing from you. We will see you next week.